So Matthew 17, continuing our series on the time has come. The time has come. And so Jesus, we saw last week, it says from this moment on, he began to prepare the disciples in Matthew 16. So he's up way up north in Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked them this question, who do you think I am? Or who do you say I am? And so Peter responded, what? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And so Jesus blesses Peter, then he also tells him the first time, hey, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to be raised on the third day. And so what we're going to see in this passage, 6 days has transpired from that moment, and so Jesus tells them again, right? So it's like, why did Jesus tell them 3 times that we know of, it's recorded? Why does he tell them over and over again what's taking place? Well, ladies may be thinking, well, because you got to tell a guy more than once, you know, because they just don't grasp it the first time. And so Jesus knew that, so he's telling them, hey, guys, I'm telling you more than once here. So let's read these verses together, verses 1 to 13, and then we'll just pick up on this story where we were off last week. So after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, so just the four of them. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then he appeared before them. There appeared before them Moses and Elijah. It's like, wow, what just took place here? Talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Thank you for taking us up here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters. And this is where he made a mistake at. He was so caught up in the moment. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, thinking that they were all equal. But they're not. And so that was his mistake, though. But he saw Jesus transfigured. He saw Moses and Elijah there. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Then notice these next 3 words. Listen to him. Wow, what a great moment. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up. Don't be afraid. You're like, what? I would love to have seen that. I'd love to have heard that. Right? And they looked up. They saw no one except Jesus. That's what I love, that part right there. It would be great to see Moses. Man, hang out with Moses, spend time with Elijah, the guy who never died. But Jesus, nobody compares to Jesus, right? So they just saw Jesus. And so, verse 9, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have just seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. So he tells them the second time about his resurrection. The disciples asked him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? They're trying to grasp this moment in time with Jesus and this whole event, trying to put it all together. So Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer, second time here again, at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist fulfilling the role of Elijah before his coming. And so I just want to bring up some things here before you, on a map-wise, where they were located. So again, they're in Caesarea Philippi, and so this is my theory. There's other theories out there. I think they're wrong. But this is just my theory and some other ones, that he took 6 days to go from the travel down south to Mount Tabor. This is the traditional view of where Mount of Transfiguration, some believe more Mount Hermon because it was higher elevation, closer to Caesarea Philippi. But again, you'll see that either real close to Galilee, right after this event that we're going to talk about in just a little bit. And so I think they're more around this area, closer to the Sea of Galilee. And so I didn't know if you guys know this, but the Sea of Galilee was from my uncle Galley. I know that was pretty bad. All right. Just record off that. Just zip that one out. All right, guys? And so they get to see this next scene. And so think about this. The three of them got to see Jesus just transformed. And they saw these two amazing people next to Jesus. And so, man, what an encounter these three had the privilege of seeing. And Jesus was like, I'm going to select you guys for this special moment. And I don't want you to tell no one about it, not even the other nine, until after I've been raised from the dead. And Peter records this event in his second letter. We're going to see that in just a little bit. But Moses and Elijah were there. And so if you look at this moment where they heard the voice of the Father, Moses, when he went to Mount Sinai, did he see a theophany of God? And did he hear the voice of God? Yes. Elijah had the same experience. He went to a mountaintop experience. He heard the voice of God, saw him in the wind and the fire. He goes, no, I'm in the still small voice. And so all of these guys had these mountaintop experiences where it's like this huge vision of God, right? And so Jesus is another one. So these guys got to see these moments in front of Jesus himself. And so Jesus was just transfigured. His body changed. His face changed. His hair and clothes changed. So the glory that he had from the beginning that he was going to go back to, he just shares with them just a little bit of what they're going to see in the future when they get to heaven. So in Revelation chapter 1, you see his face shining like the sun, his clothes white like the priestly garment, a golden sash and all the stuff around him, eyes blazing like fire. And so that's the Jesus we're going to see when we get to heaven, that Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse I think around 9 through 15. So the same experience that these three got to see, we're going to see someday. We're going to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father speak to us. Yes. And what's interesting is when they saw Jesus transfigured and they saw Moses and Elijah, they were like normal. It's like, man, it's great to be here. But when they heard the voice of the Father, face down, terrified completely. It's like, wow. And Jesus comes along and says what? He touches them and he says, get up, don't be afraid. So if you ever wonder what it would be like to have a God moment, study this passage. Because this is going to be a reality for every believer in Christ. We're going to see Jesus transfigured when we get to heaven. His body is going to be like that. We're going to hear our Heavenly Father's voice. And just like the song, I Can Only Imagine, how are we going to respond? Will I stand? Will I kneel? Will I sing? Will I just be silent? That moment is going to be a reality for every Christian. And it's like, here's the cool thing. I know where my face is going to be when I see Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus comes over and touches us. You get this moment, he comes over and he touches them. He says, hey, get up. Don't be afraid. It's like, how would I respond in the presence of God himself speaking? And wouldn't it be great to hear him say, hey, this is my son or this is my daughter with whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Don't you want to hear that when you get to heaven? The voice of your Heavenly Father, and feel the touch of your Savior, and say, hey, don't be afraid to worship. Right? Don't be afraid. It's like down here, we're afraid to just to... Right? We're afraid just to hold our hands out or raise our hands or just clap every once in a while. I'm afraid to be off beat. Don't be afraid to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen? So don't get up, though. Don't get up and don't be afraid right now. Don't be afraid right now. All right. So why Moses? Why Elijah at this moment? So Moses represents the laws. We're going to see Elijah the prophets. And so you have these two men talking to Jesus. Now Moses talks about this prophet to come in Deuteronomy 18:15 through 18. He says, He says to the nation of Israel before he leaves, he goes, guys, there's one greater than me coming. He's the prophet to come. He's going to share with you. He's going to speak to you. Listen to him. That was his challenge, listen to him. And so that was Jesus coming, greater than Moses, right? And so then Elijah represents the prophets, and so he never died. And so Israel was always expecting Elijah to come back, right? Especially before the Messiah to come. So in John chapter 1, the Pharisees and Sadducees come to John the Baptist and they ask him, are you Elijah? Why did they ask him that question? Because they understood Malachi. Why are you baptizing and preaching repentance? That's the Messiah's role. Are you the Christ? And he goes, no, I'm neither. But Jesus here calls John, he was Elijah. He was my forerunner. He was the voice prophesied in Isaiah 40 and Malachi to talk about my coming. And so what's interesting is when we study Revelation, you see the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, preparing for Jesus' second coming. So many think that at this moment they were like, hey, Jesus, is it time for us to come now? Can we come now? And Jesus is like, no, not quite yet. Not quite. This is my first coming. I'm going to come again. Then you guys will be sent to speak to Israel and wake up the nation of Israel and prepare Israel for my coming. So when you see these two witnesses on TV, you know we have a short time. That makes sense? You have a short time. So just be ready for that. But to hear the Father's confirmation, I want to read to you Peter's moment as he writes to this to Christians before he passes. So in 2 Peter 1, the verses will be up here. So Peter's retelling this story before he dies. He goes, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. Very important statement. Well, as disciples of Christ, it's like, well, who do we really follow? Are these just made up stories, all these miracles, all this stuff? And Peter's like, no. No, this is not anything of man whatsoever. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. All Scripture was written by the power of the Holy Spirit. He used men of God to write down the very words of God. Amen? So what Peter was saying, God's word trumps any personal experience. Now think about that just for a moment. He heard the voice of the Father. He saw Jesus transfigured, and he's saying, this is more certain than my personal experience that I saw. You will do well to take heed to Scripture. Does that make this a precious book then, doesn't it? David says, the word of the Lord endures forever. It is eternal. It's a light unto our feet, right? And so every person needs to have a copy of this book. If you don't, we'll give them to you free today. Amen. You can download it on your phone. You need to digest God's word into your life. Let's encourage you. It will revive your soul, Psalm 19 says. It'll lift you up. And so Peter is like, guys, it's like a light that shines in a dark place till the morning star rises in your hearts. And so to speak, he says, stay in the word of God until Jesus arises in your hearts. As the day dawns, right? And the morning star rises in there. So sometimes when you have those moments with Scripture and the Holy Spirit and in times of prayer, you can just sense the Lord. You ever felt that? You can just sense the Lord speaking to you, encouraging you, filling you up. And he's like, that's what you need to cling to. Because one day, yes, we will see Jesus. We will hear that moment. But while we wait for that, we have the Father's voice. We have Jesus' voice written down for us to encourage us. So take heed to and listen to Jesus and what he's saying to us. And so Jesus explains this moment to the disciples. He says, hey guys, don't get up. What I'm going to do, I'm fulfilling the law and the prophets. And so I want to read Matthew 5:17-18. Jesus says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, right? So I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, amazing statement, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So here's what's interesting. When you study Genesis all the way to Malachi, up to the Gospels, you see God writing stories and pictures of what is to come. And so Jesus was like, I know everything that's written about me, and I'm going to fill everything down to the smallest stroke of a pen that's written about me. Amen. So when he was on the cross, did any of his bones break? Was that prophesied in the Old Testament that no bones shall be broken? Yes. It's like down even to that small little thing. So 300 verses, Old Testament prophecies, were fulfilled in his first coming. And everything was exactly down to the T. 100 more are yet to come. So this fall we'll be looking at those things this fall. A lot of things are taking place. We're going to study prophecy this fall. It's always a good time to do that anyway. Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, all those kinds of things. So we'll look at that this fall. But think about this. Jesus understood all that was written about him, he says in Luke 24. And he was telling the disciples, everything had to be fulfilled just because it's written about me. Right? And so think about this. If God revealed to you everything, every detail about your life ahead of time, do you think you would fulfill it? If it involves suffering and pain and sorrow and grief. You're like, can we erase that part out there? Come on. Can I just tear that chapter? I don't like that chapter out of there. And just, can we do that? And so when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying and he's asking the Father three times, please take this chapter out. I know my time has come. I know what I'm getting ready to go through. Please. And he says, but not my will, but yours be done. And so he agreed to what was going to take place for his life, his death, his suffering, the cross. He knew what was coming. So he tells the disciples here in just a little bit, hey, I'm going to suffer, but I'm going to be raised the third day. That's the hope, right? Even though I may face hardship, there is a time when I'm going to experience heaven. I'm going to see heaven's glory and Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen. And so it's all worth it. So picture it like this. We got to eat spinach and greens before we get to dessert. Right? Right? And so it's like, I can tolerate some greens as long as there's some vinegar and bacon and some bacon grease in there. I can tolerate it and some salt and some hot sauce. I'm a little Southern, right? And so I can tolerate because I want the ice cream at the end. And so sometimes we got to get through all the tough stuff before we experience dessert that God has for us. But then he says, don't tell anyone till after my resurrection. And it's kind of a curious statement. He goes, guys, don't tell anything that you have seen. He didn't say don't tell anything that you've heard. So this is their first time hearing the Father's voice, right? Their first time experiencing that. And so they've heard Jesus, you know, all up for 3 years now, 2 to 3 years walking with him, hearing his teaching. And so was Jesus thinking that, hey, the other nine who are away, they're not going to believe you if you tell them what you've seen? I've chosen you, these three, for this moment and trusted you with this vision. And so Peter held to that. He didn't tell anybody till he wrote it out in his second letter. I'm sure they probably talked about it afterwards. You know, a lot of stuff's not recorded, but they could have very well talked about it. It's like, man, Jesus told us not to tell us, but now we can tell you. We saw his face, man, his clothes. He used Tide that day, I'm telling you. You know, he used the good stuff. He says, don't tell anyone until after my resurrection. And so then Jesus explains to them, John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Elijah that was to come in Malachi. And so, yeah, the Elijah that was in this moment with Jesus on the mountain with Moses, that's for another moment. But John the Baptist fulfills this prophecy as my forerunner for me to come this first time. Okay? So Jesus explains that, and then they ask that great question. So now we're going to read them. They come down the mountain, and now they go to the crowd where the other nine are at. Verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. His seizures and his suffering greatly. He often falls in the fire and into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And so Jesus responds, O unbelieving and perverse or twisted generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Does Jesus have that kind of authority?
Yes.
Yeah, he does, right? And so boy was healed. Then the disciples talked to Jesus privately, verse 19. Why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. When they came together in Galilee, so shortly after, that's why I think he was closer to Mount Tabor. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Now, here he introduces the word betrayed. His first time was, I'm going to be rejected. Now he adds, I'm going to be betrayed. Third time, he tells them in a couple of weeks, he's going to add flogging to it. So he increases the pressure and the moments that they're going to see as they need to know it. Okay? And so he introduces betrayed. And so at the Last Supper, he says, what? One of you guys is going to betray me. We know who that was. That was Judas. And so they will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life. And then notice the disciples' response now. So remember, Peter was like, Lord, never this is going to happen to you. There's no way this is going to happen. Now they're filled with grief, heavy grief. Like, wow, he's telling us again. And we're just like, we can't get past this. Why is he telling us this? Why is he showing us and preparing us all for these moments? It's because they're about to witness the greatest moment in history that they had no clue. He was giving them clues all along the way. But now he's gently leading them closer to Jerusalem. Guys, this is going to take place. And now their hearts are filled with grief. So a couple of things here. Number one, why couldn't the nine cast out the demon? Jesus says, because of your little faith. Mark says, Jesus said, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. So when you encounter evil and evil's power, evil does have power, right? So you've got to combat it with God's power. So what's the power that we have? Is faith powerful to God? Is prayer powerful to God? Is the blood of Christ powerful to God? Is the word of God powerful to God?
Yes.
So we have to tap into this power source to combat evil, amen, right? And so Jesus is simply saying, you guys weren't tapping into it. You were trusting your own power. Maybe they got used to like, hey, yeah, come out, and they obey us. And Jesus is like, you got to do it in my name, not your name.
Amen.
You got to trust me and my resource. Even though I was away, you couldn't do it yet. Maybe they didn't pray. Maybe they didn't fast. Maybe they just thought they could do it on their own. So Paul says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? So we got to tap into his strength and power, especially when those moments come, right?
Amen.
And as we get closer to the second coming of Christ, we're going to see evil raise its ugly head more and more. So we need to be prepared. So the challenge is to stay spiritually healthy all the time,
Amen.
To walk in the Holy Spirit's power.
Amen.
Amen. And be filled with the Word of God. Whatever comes our way, we can trust God to do what he's called us to do. And so he challenges them on their faith. And so how much faith does it take? He said, just the mustard seed faith. Childlike faith, right? Jesus always uses just give me a little bit. And so Hudson Taylor says, I don't strive for great faith. I strive and rest in God's faithfulness. Difference. I enlarge my heart when I know God's always been faithful. I know he will always come through. I know he will, not I will. That makes sense? And so I strive for just, Lord, just give me a little faith. You ever struggle with just faith itself? Trust? You have trust issues with God? You ever thought like, man, if I was running the world, I'd do it a little different? Right? We all think that sometimes. Man, if I was in charge, this is how it's going to be. Right? If I was God, this is how it's going to be. And God's like, you can have the job anytime you want. You think you can do better? But guess what? You can't do what I can do. Right? You can't. So just trust me. Just give me a little trust. And I'll show you how big I really am. Right? Then lastly here, they focused on his death, which filled their hearts with grief. They didn't focus on the resurrection. It's like, well, what does that matter? Well, if you ever went through loss in this life, there is a mental change. And so as I've experienced grief and studying grief, that helped me through grief. There was a point in a chapter to where the book that Carrie gives on grief, and they even got grief share as well. There's a point to where you got to shift your thinking on your loss and pain and hurt and anger to the hope of the resurrection. That little truth just made my soul just go, oh, I've been focusing on the wrong thing. I've been focusing on hearing and dealing with the loss where Jesus is like, hey, it's the resurrection you need to focus on.
Right.
There's hope there. There's life there. There's joy there, right? We're called just to help each other through it all. It's like, well, why am I still here? Why do I experience this stuff? And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, we go through sorrow, we go through trouble and hard times, so when God comforts us, we can give the same comfort that God gave to us to others who go through hard times. So we're here to encourage each other till that moment, because life's going to be very hard. But that focus changed everything for me. You ever had the aha moment?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that truth, that nugget of truth just changed my perspective. If you're going through loss, if you're going through comfort, man, focus on what God has in store,
Amen.
Not what we have lost.
Amen.
Our loss is their gain. Amen? It's their gain. That's what we ought to focus on. And so again, Jesus is telling them the second time, and their hearts are filled with grief. Even when he was in the upper room with them, in John 14, he tells them, I'm going to go back to the Father. It says their hearts immediately went to grief again. It's like no matter how many times Jesus explained, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to come, you should be overjoyed when the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's greater. He's going to do all these things through you. And their hearts were just like, I can't receive truth right now because my heart is so heavy. And Jesus kept focusing on them. Guys, better days are ahead. Better days are ahead. The resurrection is coming. Just give me 3 days. Give me 3 days I can turn your sorrow into great joy. Just give me 3 days. That's what our Lord can do. And so, I hope that helps you a little bit as well. You know, today, this past week, several weeks, in the beginning of this year till now, I've had the privilege of doing several funerals. One yesterday, then one coming up Tuesday, and one for my dear friend that I lost a weekend ago. And I can focus, like, on all the memories. Like, yeah, all that will help. But it's like, I know where they're at. And it's like, what would they say to us who are still living? Once you see heaven, it's like, if you had one moment to come back and say, hey, what would you say to your loved ones if you came back? I think they would say what Peter is saying to us. We have something so special down here. God has given. I think they would say, it's all real.
Amen.
It's all real. And you need to live for Him. You need to know what He has in store for you is amazing. He's going to lead you up Mount Zion. Mount Hermon, Mount Tabor. No, God's mountain. Could you imagine seeing God's mountain? To the throne of your heavenly Father, to Jesus and the Holy Spirit right there. And the revelation says we get to stand before His presence. The angels can't even look upon God. They cover their face. Isaiah 6, they cover their eyes. It's like we can't even, God is so holy we can't even look upon Him. And yet God allows us, in Revelation 22, to see Him face to face.
Amen.
That's the moment we have to prepare for.
Amen.
Jesus prepared for His death, His resurrection, His ascension for us to experience because that's where He's going to take us. He's going to lead us up to that place. And that's why we need to have things settled right now in our hearts. Make sure we have Jesus in our heart. So it's amazing when yesterday I came to the ladies' thing, I was trying to grab some donuts. That were so good, by the way. And sneaking some of those in. And as I was here, just listening to ladies just talk and just pray over each other. We had a lady come up to me. She goes, Andy, I've been really... I think now's the time for me to get baptized. As I've been struggling and wrestling with it, now's the time. The time is now. Then my, I think, great niece came up and says, Andy, I want to get baptized. Like, well, you need to go talk to your mom. She's here. And talk to your grandma. It's like, they're here. So we settled that last night. So we're getting ready to see these two get baptized today.
Amen.
So if you would just make your way on back to get changed. And we'll experience that in just a moment. So we're going to pray. We're going to close with a song. All right, then we're going to rejoice with these two. Okay, so Father in heaven, we thank You so much for just revealing to us this special moment that You revealed to the disciples. And they shared it with us. So we get to know the hope that we have. And Lord, the joy that we have until we go home. What we're going to see. And Lord, we're going to be able to recognize all of those saints from the Bible. They saw Moses and Elijah and they called them out. They recognized them. And so, Lord, we thank You that we're going to have those kinds of moments. But especially just seeing you, Lord, is worth it all. And hearing the voice of our Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you seal our hearts, our lives, and you are the promise and that guarantee of what is to come in our souls. You've given us that sweet assurance until we go home. So, Lord, we pray for just help in this life. We thank you that you're our comforter. We thank you that you are the one who comes alongside and lifts us up. When we get down, we get discouraged, we get depressed, we lose faith, you come and fill us back up again. And so, God, we're just saying we need you, and we need you to be more alive in us and through us. Help us to be transformed more into your likeness by the renewing of our mind as we fix our eyes on Jesus. Because one day, Paul says, our lowly bodies will be transformed like unto his glorious body. And Lord, we look forward to the promises that you have in store for us. And Lord, we thank you for touching these two hearts yesterday, just to give them obedience and trust to just take that next step of faith and declare Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I want to follow him the rest of my life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.